Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits. Let me see if I can get... Okay, there we go. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it turned here to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. She is representing Newsbusters.org. Also, she has her own program, and we'll give you a little where you can find that information. CensorTrack.org as well. I want to welcome T-Rose, Tieran Rose Mandelberg, to the program. T-Rose, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks so much, Pastor Greg. Always glad to be here.
I was sharing with you a statement that I had written up, and I actually put a video together with regards to it. Let me see if I can find that. Yes, I can. So I'm going to I'll just pop that over here and put it on for about a half a second. Here we go. Democrats across the country are running on abortion, gun control, and democracy. They are telling you your sons are rapists, your daughters are whores, defenseless children in schools stop bullets, and mobs like BLM and Antifa, social media platforms, and cancel culture should control free speech. They want drag shows at your schools and support gender mutilation. As a Christian conservative, I believe your sons are to be raised as men of valor. Your daughters' bodies are more than sex objects and deserve honor. Guns are a deterrent to senseless violence, and we want all Americans to have representation and the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, including free speech, freedom to practice your religion, a free and honest press, the right to peacefully assemble, and the right to redress your representative government. So vote conservative for freedom. There you go. And that was actually, I put that out, before yesterday's election, but really it speaks about, you know, what they're running on and, you know, why yesterday's election kind of sort of went the way that it did. And it just seems like the media is covering up the realities, right? You know, and they don't, the censorship doesn't give people who have a different view. Look what's happening with people who protest or go to abortion clinics and speak up, T. Rose.
Yeah, Pastor Greg, you're exactly spot on. You know, that's the big issue. It's like we have created a society that is so, I don't want to say we because you and I are fighting against it, but the left is trying to create a society that is so just, quote, hop on the bandwagon mentality or just follow the mainstream or follow what the media is telling you or follow this, that, and the other thing. And, you and I have talked about this before, but we are no longer living in a society where critical thinking and the opportunity to have free speech and the opportunity to have a difference of opinion is respected. It's no longer, I feel like it used to be encouraged for people to have civil debate and conversation and things like that. But the second now that you stand up in the name of what you believe is true, whether that's a biblical basis or not, the left just completely targets you, calls you slanderous names, censors you, like you and I have been censored a handful of times, honestly, more than a handful of times, but it's so true. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and she lives in Ohio, and of course voted on, against issue one regarding abortion, and she has gotten so many violent attacks against her on her social media just by saying something like, she said something along the lines of, I'm heartbroken at the fact that issue one, people voted to approve that. And people came for her instead of saying, I'm sorry that you were, instead of saying nothing, which they should have done, they had a differing opinion because clearly online you're going to face people with so much, staff and ridicule, but instead of approaching her in that sense of being, sympathetic towards her loss, for them it maybe wasn't a loss, they just came towards her and attacked her, saying things like, oh, you probably slept with your youth pastor, or you're just like a god crazy girl, we're so happy, we can't wait to kill more babies. Like, they say these crazy things, and then those people aren't censored, but then she gets censored for saying something like, I wish that this wasn't the case, I wish that abortion wasn't the case. So it's just, the morals are so twisted and backwards, it's honestly astonishing.
Yeah, if you come out, you know, I spent about a half hour this morning talking about, you know, life and the value of life. I made mention of the fact that we have a culture, you know, that promotes the Alfred Kinsey idea that, you know, every person has a sexual preference, and mm-hmm. and that they're, you know, sexual beings, and without recognizing the psychological impact and the physiological impact that all of that does when you start breaking down a child's conscience at such a young age, it's dangerous.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. They're starting in the schools. You and I have talked about this too. It's like they start right in the schools. It's not that they're trying to convince adults to, you know, believe these crazy progressive things where abortion, the killing of babies, is not only accepted but celebrated. They're not just trying to convince adults of that. They're starting with kids, and they're starting in classrooms, whether they're reading. And same with like the transgender stuff. It's like they're not finding random 50-year-old men and saying, hey guys, you're probably gay. They're starting with kids, and they're saying, hey, if you've never had a girlfriend, that means that you're gay. Or if you like to do this, that, the other thing, then or you like playing with this toy, that means you're transgender and you're actually a boy, you're actually a girl. And they're starting with the kids because, I mean, that's an easy target, Pastor Guy. It's easy to target kids because they're vulnerable. They don't know how to think for themselves. They're typically in classrooms for 8 hours a day, and then they go home and have maybe 2 or 3 hours before bed, and then they're asleep for 8 hours. So the school teachers are spending more time with them than their parents. And it makes it incredibly easy for teachers and classes to target these kids and to indoctrinate them and groom them, I would even go as far as to say, into believing this kind of woke propaganda. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And there's definitely parents that are fighting back against it, but not enough parents are fighting against it in the sense that for each parent that's fighting against this kind of stuff, there's 10 or 15 more teachers, adults that are fighting for it. And so we really need to start shifting the narrative here and shifting the statistic of, you know, pushing back against this stuff and start electing people that are going to help fight for kids, not against kids, which I think that the left is definitely against kids, despite what they claim to be.
Well, and you know, the other issue is the redefining of woke and diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the critical race theory. You know, I was reading a poll that was done in Florida where they asked people which was of more concern to them. Was it wokeism, or was it border security and justice and law and order? And of course, you know, everybody said, oh, it's the justice and the law and order. But what they're hiding from everyone is that the push of wokeism in the education system is what's causing the breakdown. 39 shootings in Chicago with 7 dead. Okay, that is because they teach in school that equity deems that you have a right to whatever it is that you want. Yep. You have a right to level the playing field and not just level it, but take advantage of those that you might perceive to be weaker.
Right. It's a me first mentality.
Yep.
And it's crazy. You know, in school, I remember they always taught the golden rule. They had it on the classrooms. They said, treat others as you want to be treated. And to me, that meant all right, well, I want others to, you know, prioritize me and prioritize time with me. So for me, that means I'm going to always put them first. I'm going to put them first in my decision making and allowing them, you know, as a little kid, you do little things, allowing them to go in front of you in line or things like that. But now it's just a do whatever you want, believe whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can make any decisions that you choose, and we will support you regardless of what they are and regardless of what the repercussions are. And I think that's a really, really dangerous thing to be teaching kids, because why would we want to live in a society where everybody is so entitled? You know what I mean? I mean, as Christians, you and I know that we are to deny self and lift the Lord. But for people, even people who don't have that kind of Christian background, it just seems common sense for me to put others first. Like, I don't know why we're in a society where it's a me first, regardless of whatever happens, based on my decisions. It doesn't matter because I'm, you know, I'm the prize of everybody's life. Like, that's not the mentality that we're supposed to live with, you know, biblically or not. I just don't understand why we've gotten to that point. And it's honestly terrifying. Like, I don't have children of my own yet, but to see my nieces and nephews and to see my sisters have to kind of protect them from this sort of mindset and encourage their kids to open the doors and things like that, that just seems common sense for our family that aren't for other people. And these kids, these 7-year-olds are flabbergasted when other kids treat them horribly. But I'm like, well, you know, you have to recognize that these kids in schools, they're not taught to treat others with love and compassion. They're taught to encourage people to believe illusions and encourage people to just live how they want. And to be honest, they say that they're the party of inclusivity and love is love, but I don't think that telling and allowing somebody to believe a delusion is showing them love. I think it's just showing them that you really don't care about them, because if you really did love these people, you would direct them to truth and not towards this lunacy.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, you know, again, it also has to do with the base, right? It has to do with their inability, because they've had this stripped from them. And I think it's important to understand that they have had the morality has been removed from their lives. They don't have a basis in moral truth, because they've been told, you know, get God out of here. And I was commenting in an earlier segment that even those that would come and say, well, you know what, I don't need God to be moral. I don't, you know, well, in reality, you better check, because your concept of good came from somewhere. Somebody told you either that this is bad, and so you then, you know, critically thought and said, well, if that's bad, then this must be good. Or somebody told you what good is. And at the end of the day, the only source that we have to know what is good is God and the Bible. By the same token, why is there evil? Well, because there's a couple of arguments for that. One, evil, the contrast of evil, gives us the understanding of what good looks like. But if God was an unjust God, then he wouldn't give us the ability to overcome evil. And the Word of God says that he did. And how? And where do I mean by that? And I don't mean in heaven. I don't mean in the afterlife. I mean in the here and now. Now, how is that possible? Because Jesus Christ said that he overcame sin and death. The only evil in the world, T. Rose, that exists because sin is in the world.
Yep.
So if Jesus Christ came and has already overcome sin, right now, already overcome it, then he offers us, by that knock at the door, the ability to overcome sin in our lives.
Right.
He gives us the solution to evil in the world. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Let me in. And then he promises in Hebrews chapter 10 that he will write on our hearts and in our minds his laws, his word, his commandments. Literally write them in there. Now that doesn't mean don't read your Bible. It doesn't mean don't study the word. But supernaturally, he has promised that upon the new nature that you receive when you receive Christ, you get these things written in to that nature, which that nature is going to act correctly. So do we want peace in the world? Then we need to turn to Jesus Christ. That is the answer. Is if every single person, if all 8 billion people on the earth would open up their hearts and accept Christ, we would have peace on the earth.
Yeah. It seems so simple. At least
we're at. But it refutes also the idea, he's an unjust God, or he's powerless. No, he's not. He's not powerless, and he's not unjust, because he has given us the literal ability. And that's why when people will say, well, yeah, but, you know, this sin or that sin or this issue or that issue. Well, it's because the church is not preaching the full measure of the work of the cross and what it's done and how it can change a life.
Yeah, Pastor Greg, you're exactly spot on. It's so lovely to get to recognize that Jesus invites us to his table. He wants to be in communication with us, and he wants us to come to him. I was reading last night in Bible study, Mark chapter 5, about Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. And the middle section of that part is where a woman was, in Jewish culture, if you had your period, you were considered unclean.
Yep.
And a woman had it for 12 years. So she was unclean. She couldn't worship. She couldn't be with her family for 12 full years. And then she came to Jesus and she just touched his cloak and said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She just felt that faithfulness to touch him. And what was really astonishing, obviously, the fact that she became healed after that was really astonishing. But what struck me was that when she was healed, Jesus noticed that some power left him and healed her. And instead of him just continuing on, he was on his way to heal I think it was a 12-year-old little girl who was sick. She was very ill. Everybody thought she was dead, but she was just sleeping, and he helped her and healed her. But while he was on his way to do this other miraculous gift, this woman had come up to him, and instead of continuing on and saying, well, I healed that woman, let me just keep going, Jesus turned and he stopped and he said, I need to look around and see who touched my cloak. Who did I just heal? Like, what just happened? And
right.
His disciples were saying, come on, Jesus, you got to hurry up. We've got things to do. We've got to go heal this other girl. And he stopped and he found her and he waited and he looked for her and he allowed her to come to him. And I just think that symbolism of him just being patient with us and allowing him access to him and allowing him the opportunity to not only know who he is and like what he can do, but know him as a person and know him as the fact that he is our friend, he is our father, and he's there for us. I think that that's like what really we need to be focusing on, that he isn't too busy for any of us. He isn't too busy for any of our worries or any of our struggles. And in these moments where we are just so caught up and so worried and stressed about what's happening in our society, I think it's really important for Christians to not only feel that connection, that relationship with Jesus ourselves, but do as we're called to do and be a disciple for that. You know, share this story with other people, share the story of your faith to other people, and how the life of a Christian is not easy, but it is definitely an incredible way to be getting through these trials of life with, you know, faithfulness and hopefulness, with things just I can't conceptualize living in our current world without a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Because to me, life is hard enough, you know what I mean? And I'm just so blessed and grateful that I have this opportunity to be like, he's already won the war. These are the things that we're going through because we're living in a fallen world, but he has already won. And so I know what the outcome is going to be. I know what it already is. And so for me to know it's so important. But for people who don't, I just want to encourage you, you know,
amen.
It's so much greater to be in, you know, we're all children of God, but to be able to say, wow, God, I need to turn to you right now. Because
and let me just throw this in as we close. There's a difference between love, salvation, and transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God loves you, and whether you're saved or not saved, whether you have that intimate relationship or not, he loves you. How do you know? Because you have air to breathe, okay? You're not crushed by the atmosphere. You have gravity. You have clothes on your back. You there are all these things that he has provided around you that are direct implications of the fact that he is giving you something, irrespective of your stance on him, he still loves you. So he loves you. He offers you salvation. He offers you this change, this transformation, which is what is necessary for you to walk into being saved. And what he offers you is right here, right now. 1 John 5, he who is in us, when we've accepted Jesus Christ, laid down our life, put ourselves on the cross, and been resurrected with him as a new creation. 1 Corinthians 5:21, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Now you're a new creation. And you have the freedom to walk as that new creation, as I mentioned, Hebrews 10:16, wherein he has written on you his word, in your mind, in your heart. That's why 1 John 5 says, when you love him, you follow his commandments, and they're not egregious to you. There's just so much there. But I just encourage you, as T. Rose said, and as I've done throughout this program, and just to your point, and then we'll close. He's counted the hairs on our head. That is how much he desires to be intimately involved with you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. That's pretty amazing.
Yep, you're right, Pastor Greg.
T. Rose, thank you so much. NewsbustersCensorTrack.org. Encourage you, CensorTrack.org. If you have been censored on a platform, reach out to censortrack.org. They want to hear your story, and they will advocate for you. And, of course, Newsbusters as well, if you want to keep up with how the mainstream media is blocking, ignoring, and trying to rewrite the truth. Newsbusters exposes it all day long. And CNS, right? CNS News?
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break. Ed Bartlett's back with me. We're going to talk about domestic violence, and you might be surprised about what emasculation is doing in causing men to be victims of domestic violence. We'll be back with that right after this brief break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at CGRWellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at CGRWellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's CGRWellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Welcome back to Children Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Very pleased to have my next guest with me. And let me just double check this. There we go. I want to make sure. Yep. Okay, good. All right. I wanted to make sure that I had started a new recording for him. And let me welcome Ed Bartlett to the program. Edward, welcome. Good to have you with me.
Hey, Pastor Greg. Great to see you.
Well, I teased this out and I told people, I said, you know, we're going to talk about domestic violence and you might be surprised about, you know, who the victims are that we're going to talk about. And of course, we're not supposed to talk about this group, right? They're supposed to be always the perpetrators. But men have been emasculated, women have been to a degree told. I don't even know how to explain this. You're the expert. Explain how this emasculation of men and how it has changed the female identity as well.
Well, let's actually go all the way back to Marxist ideology.
Okay.
So Karl Marx claimed that families were oppressive to women. Now, he didn't explain why, he didn't give any data, anyway, that was sort of his basic idea, oppressive to women. And the reason is, according to Marx, is, because we have so much patriarchy in the family that that's where it happens. So feminists took that basic concept and said, oh, yes, and that explains domestic violence. And so it's just, you know, deeply rooted in feminist ideology that domestic violence is caused by men's need for patriarchal control over their wives and girlfriends. So that's where it all started.
And, you know, essentially, it's the effort to destroy the idea of family and redefine the man's role within the family, right?
It's redefine, and it's to marginalize and even exclude the father. So in the context of domestic violence, of course, anybody can get a restraining order just by saying, "Judge, I'm afraid." And so the guy is, you know, he literally has 1 or 2 hours to get out of the house. And then if the woman files for a divorce and custody, that creates the precedent. And it's almost impossible for the father to stay fully involved in the lives of his own kids.
And the court system has moved pretty radically in the direction of destroying or taking away the father's rights. And I think we understand that that is for the purpose of introducing this Marxist ideology, right? And you have to replace dad with the state.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, let's again go back in history. So when the Marxists took over power in the Russian Revolution, their one of their main targets were the patriarchs, referring to the leaders of the Russian Orthodox Church. And so they wanted to eliminate the church because that was one of the main barriers to state control over the minds of the citizens. So it's no coincidence that, you know, the Marxists were attacked the patriarchs, you know, more than a century ago. Now feminists are attacking the patriarchy.
And of course they feed us the idea that this is all about women's rights, correct?
Well, yes, absolutely. That's part of the ideology that's promoted. So if I can, let me just say that, I just came across a news article. This was in the Dallas Morning News here, and I'll actually read the headline. Arlington woman who admitted to killing husband sentenced to 12 years in prison. Now, was that due to patriarchal power and control of the woman?
Apparently she used a hammer to kill her husband.
Yeah. So these incidents are not rare. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize, is that we hear about these really horrendous incidents. Just last week, we learned about a woman in Montana who gave antifreeze to her boyfriend because he was coming into a $30 million inheritance. And she decided, oh, I think I'd like a chunk of that inheritance. So she killed him with the antifreeze. That was just last week.
Wow. Well, and this also, I don't know where this might necessarily fit, but I think it's worth discussing. This also addresses the issue of all of the false accusations and the change in the language of Title IX, right? Where so now a young man who takes a young lady out on a date, she might, you know, and again, this is because of you know, conditioning going back even to grammar school that I've talked about in the program today, the Alfred Kinsey effect, if you will, right? All beings are sexual beings. So young ladies are now being told, you know, hey, if a guy can sleep around, then you can sleep around too. So you should be the aggressor. You should be the one to take the first step. So she takes the first step. he rebuffs her and says, "You know, listen, I'm not that kind of guy. I want to get to know you. I want to court you. I want to find out whether or not we're compatible. And sex is something that's going to happen maybe down the road, but not till we're in a serious relationship, and maybe not even till we're married." So now she's offended because he rejected her advances. And so now she goes and reports him and says, no, the problem here with the guy here is this guy's a predator. And she turns him in.
We hear so many stories like that over and over again on college campuses and off college campuses. And So again, this is Marxist ideology that, we live in a patriarchy. This patriarchy is offensive and oppressive to women, and we have to, quote, topple the patriarchy. And they never quite say how they plan to topple the patriarchy, but now it's become pretty clear they want to stereotype men as abusers. And, you know, and we need to emphasize the Centers for Disease Control says that actually each year there's more men than women who are victims of domestic violence. I'll give you the number. Each year, 6.5 million men compared to 5.7 million women victims of physical domestic violence, according to the CDC.
Now,
so we've known that for years.
I was just going to ask you. So historically, I'm sure you studied this and looked back on this. When did the trend of domestic violence begin to rise? And then when did the trend of domestic violence towards men begin to rise? Do you have those statistics by chance?
Well, you can go back in your history books. We know that actually Abraham Lincoln was repeatedly abused by his wife, Mary.
Mm.
There's incidents, cases in the Bible of physical abuse in married relationships. So, as far as we can tell, it's been around for a heck of a long time.
Right.
But it's only become a matter of public policy until 1994. That's okay. When the Federal Violence Against Women Act was passed. And the champion, of course, was that our good friend Joe Biden. He was the one that led the charge to enact the Violence Against Women Act. And the science was already clear at that time. This is an equal opportunity problem, right? But they said, maybe it was chivalry. Maybe it was, there's a lot of emotion tied up in this issue and in this particular law, and a lot of money. So anyway, it was called the Violence Against Women Act. So, if you're a male victim trying to go to a judge and the judge looks right there, Violence Against Women Act, right there, it's that much harder for the guy.
I was looking at this. Okay, let me see. Timeline. Okay, that was 1995. I was curious about the Monica Lewinsky Bill Clinton affair, and the timing of that in relation to this particular issue. But I guess it came about just a little bit after,
right?
Joe Biden was pushing this. Joe Biden, my gosh! Based on all the video that we see of Joe Biden's behavior towards young ladies and young girls and just, the handsy stuff that he does, it's interesting that he would be the one that would be,
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of projection going on here, and we've seen it in other areas, so it's not a surprise, but, we've just seen over and over again that people who are, are guilty of, certain sins or certain crimes, they may be the ones that take the lead to say, we have to pass a bill to stop that. And, uh, So, yeah, as you know, there is a fairly credible allegation of sexual assault by a woman against Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And I believe I read she's left the United States, so I don't know why. But anyway,
so
the Violence Against Women Act is sort of ground zero for all of this. And so, you know, I just gave you the numbers for the United States. But turns out this is, you know, the fact that women are more likely to be perpetrators than men. That's not just the United States. That's globally. There was just a study from Europe that came out recently that found that men were 33% more likely to be victims of a partner abuse compared to women. There's another study in Australia. I can give you the numbers if you want. But the bottom line message is the same. It's more likely to be women to be perpetrators. You know, and of course, you know who about Britney Spears, right?
Yeah.
And so this was in the news a few months ago, but mostly in the, you know, in the Hollywood magazines. But she was actually pretty vicious with her then husband. She would attack him when he was asleep. You may recall that Britney Spears had one of her most famous dances was involved the use of knives, and she was sort of twirling these knives around like a dervish. Well, there are actually photographs of her husband with, they appear to be bite marks on his left forearm. So that's Britney Spears, and it was not just one incident. These were repeated incidents they lived in Thousand Oaks, California.
Yeah.
They actually had to call the security guard to sort of intervene. Apparently they never called the police.
That also appears to have been, I mean, you know, the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial also seems to have brought forward that Amber Heard expressed quite a bit of violence towards Johnny Depp. And you know, as the testimony went forward and as it came out, it appears that, you know, she had some anger management issues that were related to that. But I think the key here, now on the other hand, the Violence Against Women Act, about 10 years ago, I was covering that particular thing with a woman that was on talking about it and talking about how in reality it doesn't protect women. It was giving foreign men an ability to be able to take children back to their foreign country.
I'm not sure about that part. I mean, there is a part of VAWA that's directed to immigrants. And
yeah.
Immigrants, they don't have to provide any court orders or any police reports or any medical evidence. They just show up, you know, say they speak to the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Hey, I was abused when I was in my, you know, Mexico or wherever. I was abused, and now I want to be accepted as get a green card and become a U.S. citizen. And literally they do not have to provide any evidence other than their own verbal testimony.
Well, and if they have an American wife and they've had a kid, they actually then also have the right to claim that child and take that child with them. And the woman is not able to do anything to protect her kid. It's kind of a crazy deal, but I know that's off topic from what we're talking about. But, you know, to me, the issues at hand are speaking to how, you know, again, there's misconceptions and misperceptions of what's really going on. And we may think that we have a handle on these things when in fact we don't. And going back to the male side of this, you know, if men are allowed to be who they're supposed to be, we're supposed to be raising men of valor. We're supposed to be raising men that, yes, there is a patriarchy within the marital system, but as Scripture tells us, it's the man's job to lay down his life for his wife, but not to get beat up in the process.
Right, right. Another interesting factoid I want to share with you is that it turns out that about half of all domestic violence is mutual. You know, like the woman slaps the guy and he shoves her back, right? That's mutual domestic violence. And that's very common, okay? But, you know, when you talk to feminists about this, they absolutely refuse to acknowledge this very well-shown scientific fact. You know, again, they have this narrative they want to promote, and they don't really care about the science. They don't care about the facts. They want this is the point, the tip of the spear, and how to topple the patriarchy.
Well, and at the end of the day, if you topple the patriarchy, if you remove the man from the equation, now, you know, Scripture talks about this in 2 Timothy, where it says perilous times. And then it talks about silly women laden with guilt and sin who will be taken advantage of by who? By individuals that are going to come from the outside and are going to work to deceive them and ultimately cause damage to their children. Scripture warns us what happens to a household that does not have a proper husband in place to defend the household from these kinds of predators.
And if I told you, Pastor Greg, that the United States has, of every country in the world, the United States has the highest rate of father absence, which is 23%. Would you be surprised of that fact?
Yeah, well, honestly, because of everything that I know is going on, I wouldn't. Had you told me this 12 or 14 years ago, I would have said, wow, really? And maybe not even then, because I've got to be transparent with you. So in the late 80s, early 90s, my wife and I were going through some very difficult financial times. And I was an elder at the church at the time, and we were, you know, and so on. And so the other members of the elder board said, you know, listen, there are ways that you can get some assistance to get you over the hump right now. Maybe you and your wife should look into that. We were living in California at the time. So we reached out. My wife called and said, hey, this is this. We've got two small kids. Well, you know, my husband's job doesn't pay enough, you know. And they said, oh, no problem. Divorce him. Kid you not. They said, divorce him. And we will provide you with housing and food and cash aid and medical care for you and the kids, but you got to get the husband out of the picture.
Right. And tell me that Marxist ideology has nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, so when you tell me that, you know, fathers aren't involved, I would say, yeah, that makes sense. Not just because dads don't want to be. However, again, we're not raising men anymore. We're not raising up men. I love, you know, John Eldridge has some great teachings on, you know, what a man is supposed to be and how a godly man is supposed to be interacting with his family. But we don't teach that. And of course, churches now, my God, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that is a sad story. If I can, let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing to address this issue and this devastating problem for families. So we have actually established an international alliance. It's called the Domestic Abuse and Violence International Alliance, affectionately known as DAVIA, D-A-V-I-A, Domestic Abuse and Violence International Alliance. Right now, DAVI has 110 organizational members all around the world in 33 countries, Africa, Asia, Latin America, U.S., Europe, so forth. And so next week, next Friday to be exact, the 17th of November, will be the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Men. And we started that last year, partly because the United Nations in its enormous wisdom, had a International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, right? But lo and behold, they sort of forgot about, violence against men. So this is designed to complement the United Nations effort and to cast the fact that, hey, there are far more men who die, and we're talking about in general, all forms of violence, far more men die from violence than women. And hey, why aren't we talking about that?
And again, tell us, how can people participate in that event that you're talking about, the Davia?
Right. So it's on our website. The web address is end2dv.org, and that's it's not the number two, end2dv, dv means domestic violence, .org/DAVIA, and I will repeat that again, www.end2dv.org/DAVIA.
And if you're watching, us right now on TECN TV or anywhere across our network, and you're watching the program, you will see that right underneath Ed Bartlett's name, endtodv.org. I got it spelled right this time. This is a good thing.
Endtodv.org.
Yep. Yeah. And you can check it out. And actually, also, you can find it. So right on the front page, you'll see the screens change. And it's about the fourth screen up. But if you click that arrow on the right, you'll get to Davia Member Organizations and learn more. And just simply click on that, and it will take you over to the information about the Domestic Abuse and Violence International Alliance. And give you the rundown on what they're doing and what they're about.
So many of our member organizations are holding events in their local country. We're doing a lot of social media as well, and we were able to get an ad on Facebook that the Facebook censors did not remove. That took a little doing, I'll tell you, but. But actually, it's an image of a girl, probably around 12 years old, getting ready to punch about a 10-year-old boy in the face. It's really an amazing photograph. That one photograph has drawn literally thousands of comments and thousands of likes and so forth. So we're also very active on the social media. We've been doing press releases. We just did a press release on the Britney Spears situation, so forth and so on. So we've been working to get the word out, especially to the United Nations.
Ed Bartlett, endtodv.org, end2domesticviolence.org. It's endtodv.org. Thank you, Ed, for being with us today and for bringing this very important information forward. I greatly appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for Texas Fully Loaded right here on TECN TV right after this brief break.